Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, presents Lynn Samuels.
That's Christine W. And I'm looking up her bio. She was Miss Washington State in the Miss America contest in 1984. And, you can tell. She's good looking. Every picture, I must say, she's coming back here Tuesday. Not here to me, but to Sirius. Every picture of her on the internet is about 10 years old. You know, I mean, she doesn't look terrible or anything. She's very good looking. She's tall, blonde, and everything. And, of course, nobody in this country has ever heard of this woman, which is so amazing to me. And you know what it means? Talent. She's good. She's had 9 number one singles on the club charts, which is amazing in that she has apparently only ever released 9 singles. And she's apparently huge to people who know dance music and in Europe, where they know what a singer is. So she's performing Tuesday night at the Waldorf Astoria at some, what is that? It's not Human Rights Watch. It's that gay organization. It's the classy gay organization. I forget what it's called. Human Rights something. And they're doing like some kind of thing for Ang Lee. Oh, God. Ang Lee, the director of that crappy movie. I don't care what anybody... Oh, that was so exciting! Because, you know, I come up every day, and I'm Lynn Samuels, and I look at the screen that says who's coming up, right? And I go, oh, my God, Christine W! And somebody says she's standing right over there. She's right there. I'll introduce you. And can you ever, like, dredge up the name of a song when you need to? So all I could say is, oh, I love your music. I love your CDs. I love your downloads. I love your work. You know, and I couldn't think of the name of one song. That wouldn't happen. You know what that wouldn't happen with? The only Anastasia. If I ever met Anastasia, I would just drop dead on the floor. I would. You have to go out and buy that 2-CD Anastasia thing. Oh, that was so exciting. That's it. I'm leaving. Because everything will be a come down. You know, I try never to put, like, snotty headlines on my website. You know, I just put boring. That's why no matter how many listeners I get, I can't get past 2,500 hits a day. I know I have more and more and more listeners. And I'm sorry, I don't have that flair, you know, that the Drudge Report has. I don't have that capacity to kind of twist things. Well, you're not lying, but you're not exactly telling the truth that Raw Story has with their headlines. So I just put up with the headliners. But I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. This morning. I also can't find it now. Brownie is testifying. Michael Brown. Mr. Katrina. Oh, that's a good name for him. Mr. Katrina is testifying. Now, of course, when you deal with these scumbags, what they never figure out is they're only going to try to save their own ass. I mean, what is Abramoff now is saying, I met Bush 12 times. He invited me to the ranch. You know, like, what is this bullshit? He doesn't know who I am. So that's Abramoff. And Brownie apparently asked the White House if he could invoke executive privilege. You know, which, remember, Clinton did that all the time. It was executive privilege, you know, who was, like, doing him. And, well, it was. It's a privilege of being an executive. Actually, oh, that reminds me, it's George Stephanopoulos' birthday. I saw it at the top, you know, the Daily News every day has one famous person. And the people running the hearings about what happened with Katrina are complaining, as usual, that the White House is not cooperating, that the White House won't turn over all the documents they want. Everything is like a repeat. You know, the older you get, life is just a repeat. It sounds like Clinton. The committee's going, they're withholding information. And then the White House is saying, we've turned over 500 million documents. And then the congressional committee says, but there's another 400 million that you won't turn over. So, you know, the big thing is, oh, the president couldn't get any good and honest advice if they knew that it was ever going to become public. That's kind of iffy to me to begin with. You know, like, Now, I sort of understand, because, you know, what if somebody was saying to him, well, we could, like, nuke Iraq, and then you're just throwing out ideas. You know, you're just kind of throwing out ideas. And maybe you're not serious with this crowd, they would be, but, you know, but I guess I can sort of understand it, but not really. So he gave, guess who they had a call to see if he could invoke executive privilege? Here's a blast from the past. Harriet Myers. They had to call Harriet because she's the White House counsel now. She's what Alberto Gonzalez used to be. Right? She's the White House counsel. And, of course, they've thrown that Brownie completely overboard. Now, I would think that if he had a job at that time and he was having communication with the White House, that even though they subsequently fired him, wouldn't you think that when he was talking to them while he was the head of FEMA, that they'd say, well, of course you're covered by executive privilege. Wouldn't you think so? But they said to him, like, Michael Brown who? They don't know who this guy is anymore. So, of course, he was indicating that he was kind of going to tell the truth. But he's not. He isn't. You know what he's saying? And I had to put up this headline. I just had to do it. I'm sorry. I apologize. Maybe I'll get more people to look at it. My headline is, not my fault I didn't do a heck of a job. Dot, dot. Brownie. You know, because you have to know who said. It's not his fault. It was all Michael Chertoff's fault. He stopped speaking to Michael Chertoff and spoke directly to the White House because I have to throw that can of soda out. That is driving me insane. That's been there all week. That's so, you can't see it. It's off in the corner. So it's not his fault. Nothing is their fault. Maybe George Washington did it. You know, maybe I say let's blame everything on George Washington. You know, because he was doing all that electronic surveillance unbeknownst to anybody. You know what he did? You know, I just figured out what kind of electronic surveillance Washington could do. He tied a string. You know when Ben Franklin put the key on the kite and he flew the kite in a thunderstorm, right? And something happened when the lightning hit it and he said, holy shit, that's electricity, right? You know, the story of how electricity was discovered is fascinating. I have some book. What the hell is the name of that book? I don't know, but it's about all these people that discovered electricity. No one person ever discovers anything, you know. It's always like a bunch of people all over the world at about the same time. Of course, I never finished this book. What a surprise, Lynn. And, you know, then the people starting the electric companies, it's really very, it actually is very interesting, but not enough to get me to finish it. Because I have ADHD. Put the warning on the label. So, what George Washington could have done is he could have tied a string around the string that was on Ben Franklin's kite and, like, just unwrapped it, you know, like, to wherever George Washington or wherever the NSA of that time was. And they could be spying, on do electronic surveillance, because I guess the electricity, you know, would, like, it would go down from the kite, and then it would get to the George Washington secret string, right? And it would make a turn. And it would go to George Washington. And George Washington would say, Benjamin Franklin is out in a thunderstorm again with that kite. So he'd always know where Ben Franklin was if there was a thunderstorm. How about that? That's my string theory. Hi, Michio Kaku. You have nothing on Lynn Samuel. That's how he could have done it. So, obviously, Alberto Gonzalez wasn't wrong. All right, so you can read, I have up the CNN story. Not my fault. I didn't do a heck of a job, colon. No, you can't say colon. Because that sounds like somebody else. And this is so fabulous because it starts. Now, this never comes to fruition. We all know this. These people are just going to go marching on until they totally destroy our country. But there are moments where you look at the headlines on LynnSamuels.com and say, Jesus, it's all falling apart for them. Even though you know in truth it won't. But there's like that moment. And today is one of those moments. Instead of every headline making you want to slit your throat, you go, wow, fraying around the edges, fellas. This looks great. An ex-CIA official has written a long article, which is actually posted. But I'm not posting an article for... Why is that ear of corn flying across my page? Who the hell invented these ads with things flying across your page? Now, of course, this person who wrote this article is for Foreign Affairs magazine, which I think is foreignaffairs.org, but I'm not going to read it. I'll go with the news stories. I actually, believe it or not, subscribed to Foreign Affairs magazine. You send me a thing that says $12, I'll subscribe to anything for that year. Okay, so this is obviously a left-wing liberal, you know, radical scumbag who hates America, right? Who wrote this article. He is a former CIA official who coordinated U.S. intelligence on the Middle East until last year. And he started in the year 2000, which I would think means that Bush gave him that job, right? Well, no, not really. I guess Clinton did, actually. 2000. But Bush let him stay there. Okay. So I don't think this guy is like some, you know, I don't think like he's leaving for the weekend and going somewhere and banging Cindy Sheehan. Okay? He's not small potatoes. Paul R. Pillar. He was the National Intelligence Officer for the Near East and South Asia from 2000 and 2005. Till 2005. And he has, in this article, accused the Bush administration of cherry-picking intelligence on Iraq to justify a decision it had already reached to go to war. And of ignoring warnings that the country could easily fall into violence and chaos after an invasion to overthrow Saddam Hussein. He said the misjudgments. He acknowledges that the U.S. intelligence agencies made mistakes in concluding that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. But he said those mistakes isn't what drove the administration's decision to have a war. They didn't go to war because they believed that he had weapons of mass destruction. They went to war because they wanted to go to war. There you go. So how are they going to smear him? Oh, my God, you didn't know... I'm waiting for it to, you know, when this ear of corn goes away, it'll probably flash right across my screen any minute. He's a child molester, right? They're all child molesters. They're all child molesters. Even who was that first head of the Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury? What was his? O'Neill, yeah. Remember when he just said what assholes they were? And he said, I'm old and I'm rich. What can they do to me? Remember that? That was the best thing he ever said. I'm old and I'm rich. And what did they do to him? They try to accuse him of stealing classified documents to write his book. That's what they try to do. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. It really didn't work. I don't know whether it was because he was so old or he was so rich. But they tried it, and it just disappeared. So God only knows what poor Paul Pillar has set himself up for. But that's a fabulous story, isn't it? And, of course, it wasn't heck of a Jobs' fault that he didn't do that. And there's another fabulous one. Then there's another good one. There's a fabulous one and a good one. Okay? But it does. It's very positive. This could make you feel... I think I just feel good because I met Christine W. And I never get to meet those people. But if I ever met Anastasia, I'd drop dead. Oh, my God. This, I hear, I don't know, every now and then like a buzz. It's like always while I'm talking. So I can't really hear it, and then when I stop, again, never mind, forget it. It's Friday, who gives a shit? I'm going to throw that soda can away. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146.
Tom Hartman, right after Alex Bennett and just before Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Do you know why I'm going to die in New York City? Why I can't move out of this fucking city I hate so much? Because I think it's been there since Monday. On the windowsill, there's a window between the room I'm in and the room Garrett is in. And on the windowsill on my side, there was a can of, well, it wasn't soda, it was iced tea. But there was a can of soda, as far as I'm concerned. And I think it was there since Monday. Certainly been there for days. And I thought it was like a half-empty can or an empty can or something. And I keep saying, that's so annoying. That's so... It took me 5 days to get up and pick it up and get rid of it. It was actually a closed, a brand-new, full closed can. That's why I'm never going to get my shit together and move to some decent place. Why I'm going to end up, you know, whether it's tomorrow or 20 years from now, I'll die in New York. It's like a dwarf walking down our hall with a mohawk. I sound like Howard. You know, Fred, you never expect to see a dwarf. You know, I know, it's like probably very annoying to be a dwarf. You know, because then Garrett says, is he wearing a what? Some kind of t-shirt. And I said, you can't, like, stare and look at the dwarf to see what kind of a t-shirt he's wearing. Because he'll think you're staring at him because he's a dwarf. And then if you go, no, I'm looking at your t-shirt, then he'll really think you were only staring at him because he... It's like that thing I had with the black guy on the elevator where I used to work. Where I was waiting for the elevator and there was like some messenger, some black guy, and we were the only two people there. And the elevator comes, and I remember that I forgot to buy cigarettes or something. And I wanted to like run, get the coffee, the cigarette, and I'm thinking, I can't not get in the elevator with this guy. Because black men always think white women are like afraid to be in an elevator with them. So I'm so polite that I got in a goddamn elevator so the black guy wouldn't feel bad. I went all the way up. Then I had to come all the way down again till I get whatever it is I had forgotten to get when I first got on the elevator because I so didn't want to hurt his feelings and have him say, oh, look at that white lady. She wouldn't get in the elevator alone with me. Oh, God. I'm just too good to be among such scum as are on this earth, mostly in Washington running things. Okay, so shall I tell you the big thing or the small thing? You know, yesterday when Bush, I still can't figure out what he was talking about. I absolutely, it is just beyond me. that there were the Southeast Asians and they're, I don't know, blowing up a door to the airplane and they were going to fly it into some building in L.A., which I heard Alex say that the biggest skyscraper is like 30 floors. And apparently the thing was called the Library Tower and Bush called it the Liberty Tower. What else is new?
I hear there's rumors on the internet.
Oh, we'll get to that later. And it's like, what did he even mention it for? What was like that all about? But everybody, it was like a Rorschach test, that speech. Because if you look, I guess it's on the White House website, but if you look at what he said, he didn't say anything. He just said, like, in 2002, when they were going to take this plane, blah, blah, and some other country, you know, found out and they arrested them. But if you listen to people talking about it, or you read even some of the news articles about that speech, they all are trying to connect it to the secret spying at the NSA. He didn't say anything about that. He didn't say, because of the spying, we discovered this. Did he say that? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. But everybody is discussing it as though that is what he said. The left wing, and I must admit, I shouldn't do this, but Lionel put all these thoughts in my mind. The left wing is saying, see, he's spying on people. And the right wing is saying, see, when you spy on people, look what happens. He didn't even say this country had anything to do with catching these guys. Now, the theory, I think the wonks, the policy wonks, their theory is that what he was attempting to do, other than throw the country a little Rorschach test to see how stupid people are, was trying to show the Southeast Asian countries how important they are to the fight against terrorism. You know, to like give them their due, to thank them, to somehow encourage them to continue to be partners with the United States in fighting the war against terror. You know, that's what the people, you know, who normally you wouldn't even want to read what they write because they're so boring. That's what they think he was doing. And that whole malarkey, that Bubba Meisa, which is a Yiddish word which means like old wives' tale, that Bubba Meisa about this bombing shit that I think he made it up, if you ask me. Was just really some message to other countries that it didn't even have anything to do domestically. However, the Agence France-Presse, the AFP, says here that this alleged plot that many analysts say that it never got beyond the discussion stage. That this wasn't, you know, he made it sound like, oh, my God, you know, they had the shoe bombs all made, and they knew what plane they were going on, and it was all planned out and it was ready. You know, they were ready to fly another plane into another building in the United States in the next 5 minutes. And according to many analysts, although actually, even with the AFP article, when you get to the bottom, there's one analyst who actually thinks it was further along. They say it was something they were, like, talking about. You know, it's like all the guys who say, let's go grab Scarlett Johansson and just fuck her until cum comes right out of her ears. Well, you can't arrest them because they're talking, you know. Well, apparently, according to most analysts, that's exactly what this plot was. It's like poor Jose Padilla. You know, he's probably sitting around and they go, boy, wouldn't it be great to, you know, have a dirty bomb? And he said yes, and that was the end of his life. Because there are so many questions about this idiotic speech Bush made. Like, why is he telling us now? What precipitated this fabulous revelation? Who the hell knows? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. And you could tell, you know, we played that clip yesterday, which, oh, it's from CNN, so we don't have it. He didn't sound like, it was one of those things, you know, where he sounds like he doesn't have the vaguest notion what he's saying. So it's probably something somebody stuck in front of him. Now, I must say it didn't get that much play. I thought this would get a huge amount of play. And it really didn't. Which would give you, like, some reason to have hope for the press, but then something else happened yesterday that gave us total reason to have no hope for the press. Which I'll tell you about when we come back. I met Christine Zellu. I am still, like, so psyched. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Ed Schultz, right after Lynn Samuels, 3 p.m. East, noon out West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
I know, but a week from Monday, we get a day off. Well, it's a three-day weekend next week. You know what's happening in New York? You know, we didn't have winter in New York. Or the whole East Coast, actually, because this storm is supposed to be from, I don't know, how far down? North Carolina or Maryland or something? I don't know, but there's like something churning. Besides Alex Bennett's stomach, there's something churning off the coast, and it's one of these, you know, every minute they're telling you something else about the storm. And it's also one of these, I was doing the laundry yesterday, and you know, one of my more sentient neighbors was in there, and you know, we decided it's really, it fucks up your weekend, but it's really better that you have a blizzard over the weekend when you don't have to, you know, even though your weekend's screwed, than when you have to get up and schlep through it and go to work. Although if you read some of the reports, they say, oh, it's going to start snowing tonight, Friday. This afternoon, snow showers. And that'll go on till Saturday afternoon, then the blizzard. Then it'll just keep snowing right through Monday. And I don't know, then you see another one that says, oh, the whole thing's headed right out to sea. So we're either going to have 1 inch of snow, 2 inches of snow, 3 inches of snow, no snow, 8 inches of snow, 12 inches of snow, maybe even more than 12 inches of snow, no snow. You see, we have fabulous predictions with all the science. And we're supposed to believe raw story, I see as a headline, that the climate is the warmest in 1,200 years. Well, there's all that, you know, you look at the rings on the trees and crap like that. But, I mean, they can't tell us how much it's going to snow. But they know what the weather was in the year 800. 800. No, yeah, 800. 1800, 1900, yeah. The year 800, they know what the weather was. That's 1,200 years ago, right? Yeah. Okay, so they don't know what's going to happen with a snowstorm tomorrow. But let me tell you, on the 10th of February in 807, it was a lot colder than it is now. I'm all for science, you know, but don't push me too far. So it's like we're looking forward to the weekend because you always look forward to the weekend. But this friend of mine goes, oh, you can watch the Olympics. And I'm like, excuse me? I can? Tonight is the opening ceremony. First of all, you know what's wrong with the Olympics? Number one, they don't know even what city they're in. You know all this commotion about the city? They're calling it Torino. Well, that's the Italian name for the city. It's Turin. It's the, you know, the Shroud of Turin. You don't know about the Shroud of Turin? Come on, you never heard of that? Jesus. No! It's Jesus! There's a shroud. They have this shroud. Well, now he's screening a call. They have this shroud that they say was Jesus's, that he was wrapped up in it, and that the impression of Jesus is on this, well, you know, I don't know that that's, like, so outrageous. And, no, 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 this is a serious thing. This is not a grilled cheese. Jeez. You see how people get, like, so sucked in with the Jesus and the grilled cheese? No, this is, first of all, this is a very old thing to begin with. It would have to be, like, 2006. What was the temperature on that day? No, and they've done all kinds of scientific examinations. I mean, obviously, some people say it's a crock of shit, you know. But it's definitely, believe me, it's on, like, a higher level of credibility than a grilled cheese sandwich. Although I believe, like, all those Jesus in the window and the weeping statues. If you were the Virgin Mary, wouldn't you be standing around crying? I'm a Jew, and I could stand around crying when you look around. No, this is a very serious thing, the Shroud of Turin. I mean, the major scientists have looked into this. So that's what the city is. It's Turin. And for some reason, they decided to call it Torino, you know, because it sounds better. It does. It sounds like people skiing down mountains and zooming across the Torino. So there's that big thing, and I can never get into the Olympics. I'm sorry, I just can't. Although this does seem for the Eastern Seaboard for the perfect weekend for people to get into it. But these opening ceremonies tonight, the problem with them being in Europe is we see everything on delay. We don't see any of this shit live. You're going to be able to look on the internet before any event we watch in the United States. You're going to be able to look on the internet and you know who won. Well, who cares then? Even if you cared, who would care? That we're seeing everything. We're seeing the opening ceremonies. How late? You know, we're seeing them hours and hours after. They could have ice skates with, like, flame coming out of them, I heard. That sounds cool. But who wants to watch all this? I'm sorry, I can't get into it. I just can't. And NBC is figuring that it's going to be, what, a third or a quarter lower ratings than the Salt Lake City ones, which had the advantage of being live. And, of course, for the people in this country, they were taking place in this country, which, as we all know, is really the only country. You know, the other countries, they don't count. And it was, what, in 2002? I forgot about that, but, you know, we were all, like, into, you know, being patriotic and shit. So I just can't, because sometimes the Summer Olympics, but I can only get into the little beautiful boys on the diving boards in their little bathing suits. That's the only thing in the Olympics I have ever had any interest in. And I'm hoping that my little Chinese store has Saw 2 available. And I am running, although I had already decided this. And it occurred to me this movie is going to be sold out. I don't think, boy, am I ever going to be the oldest person in that theater. Am I going to be the oldest person in that theater? That is going to be such a riot. I want to see, because what we have to plan in New York, and I guess Boston, you know, Massachusetts, all those states around here, for the weekend, is we can only count on what we're going to do tonight. That's it. That's the weekend. You know, if there's a blizzard tomorrow, Saturday shot and Sunday shot, and you can only hope that it's not, you know, hell on Monday. So that's it. Final destination 3 for me. Which I'm sure I like a lot better than I like Brokeback Mountain. And you expect the whole audience to be screaming the whole time, but it did occur to me. It's probably, I bet it's going to be sold out. That is really not the kind of movie you should go to on the first day it opens in New York City, actually. Okay. So let me tell you this other thing. We have the ex-CIA official saying that they, lied to get us into war. We have Brownie saying it was all Chertoff's fault. We have this bogus plot that everybody says wasn't really a plot. And the coup de grace. The coup de grace that started out with an article in the National Journal by one of the best reporters that has ever lived in this country, whom most people have never heard of, a guy named Murray Wass, W-A-A-S, very well respected. And it started out with an article he wrote, and it is now actually getting covered in the mainstream media, much to my surprise, much actually to the surprise of everybody on the left. So I don't know whether they checked Murray's sources or Murray is so well respected or what. But this is now everywhere. I like where it says here, NBC. And then the headline that I didn't tell you yet, but why are they saying NBC? It's not an NBC story. It's a National Journal Murray Wass story. But, okay. Whatever. Scooter Libby. There seems to have been like a big old leak from the grand jury. Now, I will tell you before I even start telling you that Scooter Libby's lawyers say this is absolutely bullshit. Not a word of this is true. His lawyers are just denying this. Totally. But everybody is going with it. That part of Scooter Libby's defense is going to be that Cheney instructed. Oh, we were both right. Because Garrett said they told him to do it. And I said, no, they just said he could. Instructed and encouraged Libby to share classified information with reporters. Well, 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 well. Supposedly, his attorneys discussed the matter with Patrick Fitzgerald and the judge in a conference call. Now, his lawyers, if you read, when you read this whole thing, it just that they say there was no conference call. None of this happened. I don't know. Do they think because nobody ever heard of Murray Wass? The people have heard of him. This guy would not write this unless, oh, God, they'll be dragging him into court any minute now, won't they? That Cheney told him to. So the beautiful thing that we are seeing is when you're a scumbag and you just deal with other scumbags and you're a lying sack of shit and everybody around you is a lying sack of shit, when somebody's back gets pushed up against the wall, they're going to turn on each other. Right? Brownie, Michael Brown. You know, oh, it wasn't my fault. It was Michael Chertoff's fault. Scooter Libby, it wasn't my fault. Dick Cheney made me do it. If Dick Cheney encouraged you to jump off the Empire State Building, Scooter, would you do it? We could only hope. There you go. There you go. That's part of his defense. But they must have a very friendly judge. You know what leads me to believe they have a friendly judge? What month and year is it now? It is February 2006. When are the congressional elections? November 2000. Oh, my God, they're only 9 months away. If you got pregnant this minute, you'd be having that baby. Right for election day. April, May, June, July, August. Yeah. Okay. So the election's in a... Guess when they have scheduled Scooter Libby's trial. Guess. January of 2007. Oh, give me a break. I said, somebody, we really ought to look up who appointed the judge. We really do need to see who appointed the judge. Well, he's not as good looking as he thinks, but he sure got nice muscles on him. Okay, so just think about this. They all seem to be turning on one another. And I just hope their solution to this isn't to kill a few thousand more of us. Oh, keep walking. Oh, what a great little ass. Oh, he's got a great little ass on him. See, Garrett can't acknowledge it. I can, old women can look at other women and go, oh my God. But like a guy, you can't look at, he's got a beautiful ass. Oh, he's got one of those little, oh, it's so cute. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left on 46.
Bill Press, right before Alex Bennett, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
All right, so somebody called up. Oh, I know what it was supposed to be. They fixed it. I know exactly. How much time do we have? Not much. Hi, Don. Don. Dan, hello? Whatever your name is. Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Yeah. How you doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to call. You were mentioning the Shroud of Turin.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists have used carbon-14 dating on that, and it dates from the 14th century.
Yeah, I know, but isn't that the part that they say they fixed it? That it's not the real, that they tried to fix it, that it was like, you know, cloth phrase after a couple of thousand years.
No, that's just explaining away the evidence.
No, but if you go on the internet, I haven't done this lately, but I did it once, and you can find, it's like everything else, you know, you find scientists tell you, yeah, it is Jesus' shroud, and then you find people like you.
You don't find any real scientists who say it's Jesus' shroud.
Well, the one I believe say that.
The other thing is that fakes were so common in the Middle Ages of burial shrouds that the Vatican issued warnings to pilgrims to the Middle East not to buy them.
Oh, all right. Okay, I like to believe it's real. Just like we all like to believe whatever we want to believe. I believe there's another hour. How about that? So I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to say hello to my friend Alexis Stewart. And I'll be back. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146.
And now, the gospel according to Lynn. Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Nina, pretty ballerina, full of
Sherry was Christine W. in the Miss America contest. She was Miss Washington State. She won the talent competition. And I saw her. You know I saw her because it was 1984, and that was the kind of a year where I would have never missed Miss America. I don't know why I'm still bringing it up. I'm so excited. Do you know what her real name is, though? You know why she took the name Christine W.? Because her name is Weitz. She's like a Jewish girl. I mean, if you're going to be like a dance club goddess, you can't be named Christine Weitz. You can win an Academy Award, I hope, for Best Supporting Actress if your name is Rachel Weitz. But you can't be a dance diva for the Game Boys and be named Christine Weitz. All right, that has nothing to do with anything. That's the last hour. You know, I assume that every listener has been listening to me since 1979. I really do. I never, like, re-announce something. You know, in real radio, real professionals, not me. I've only been doing this since 1979. When they bother you, see, when you work in an old-fashioned radio station, they like to be having meetings and telling you what the fuck to do. Although I must say nobody ever tried that with me because they knew I would never listen. But there are certain things you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to, like, back introduce your topics and what's going on, you know, which is great. You know, it really is good. In the days before the internet, it was sort of useful. You know, when you thought you'd run out of material, which I still think. Now that you have the internet, why? But they always say, like, if first of all, you could never do one topic for an hour, which was fine with me because I can't do the same topic for 5 seconds. But you would always have to reintroduce the topic. So, like, before every break or after every break, I guess is when they told you to do it. I don't know. I never listened. You would have to say, oh, we're discussing Dick Cheney telling Scooter Libby to discuss classified information with the press. Do you realize if you keep doing that how much time that kills? Well, you don't even have to think of anything to say. And I hear so many people do it, not on Sirius. Is Scott Farrell going to be here? You know, Howard is trying out Scott Farrell on Howard 100. I never met him. And I don't even know if I like him. But, man, he is one weird dude. I think he started yesterday. Didn't he? You know him? You met him? Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to know Scott Farrell. Because he sounds to me like a total psycho. Anyway, that's a little inside radio stuff. But it is. Check out on Howard 100. I don't know. I think he was on last night. And I don't know how many more times he's going to be on. And I have no idea if he's actually here. But I hear so many radio hosts do this. Michael Savage does it. On old-fashioned radio. Although he's like such a psycho. Savage is such a psycho. He's sitting there yesterday saying, well, he didn't say Rush. What was he calling Rush? The golfer. He's saying the golfer gets all his ideas from my show. Now, I know he's deaf. So what do? Do they give him transcripts of my show so he can read them? Because everything that the golfer says, it's a good thing he can listen to me at night. So he'll know what to talk about. Now, I hate to tell you something. I know Rush. When Rush was not deaf, he didn't listen to anybody on the radio. Most talk radio hosts, I'm a very odd talk radio host, apparently. Most of them don't listen to talk radio at all. And that's all I do. I don't have time to do anything but listen to the talk radio. That's all I do day and night. Although there's less and less to listen to. Oh, my God. Did you see that girl from the Young Turks was on Scarborough last night? She had, like, nothing to say. It was embarrassing. She's sitting there. They apparently, every Thursday night on Scarborough, have three talk radio hosts. And last night they had Lionel, you know, who's on a lot of the left-wing stations around. People think he's with Air America, but he isn't, because the stations that don't want to put Mike Malloy on, put Lionel on. And Neil Bortz, who's a right-wing, he's not really, he's right-wing, but he's mostly a libertarian. He's a crackpot. He's a nut. He's actually, I don't mind Neil Bortz. He's kind of enjoyable occasionally. And then they needed, now what do you need if you have Joe Scarborough, Neil Bortz, and Lionel? You don't have anybody from the left. Well, Lionel is from the left, but he's also a libertarian. I don't know what he is. He hates Bush. But you don't have a woman. So they got this girl, her name is like Jill Pike or something, from the Young Turks. Well, she needs like a shot of adrenaline the next time they put her on TV. I started out like that. When I would do TV in the late 90s, you start thinking you're supposed to be serious because you're on television. Then you realize that it's like a dog and pony show. It's not serious. It's bullshit. So there's Michael Savage, you know, claiming that Rush Limbaugh gets all his ideas from Savage. When I can testify, believe me, when the man could hear, he didn't listen to talk radio, Rush. And then Savage says, and this is what we've been talking about, which he does all the time, and he lists all the topics. And I'm sitting there screaming in front of my computer because after he accuses Rush of getting all his ideas from Savage, Savage is then listing everything he talked about, every one of which came from the Drudge Report. So you know, Michael, they could cut out the middleman and Rush maybe gets his ideas from the Drudge Report. You're nothing but a middleman, honey. God, it was the funniest thing I have ever heard. You know, like the kind of delusion that people live in. He doesn't even know everything he was talking about was from the Drudge Report. But I noticed it. Jesus. And he doesn't. Lionel is always doing it. If you listen to Randy Rhodes for four, well, I can't listen to her for 4 hours. But she does a two-hour show, but it takes her 4 hours. Because she repeats everything. And there is a logic to what they, I don't know why I'm telling you about, you know, what they tell you to do in radio. But there's a logic to it. And the logic is that particularly if you're on in what, you know, drive time in the morning or at night, although Howard doesn't do it, your audience comes and goes. You know, you're supposed to always assume that nobody turns on your radio show and listens from the beginning to the end. Now, I have never believed that. I not only believe you've been listening to me consistently from 1979, but I certainly believe everybody turns it on at 1 o'clock and you don't leave till 3. Or you turn it on at 10 and you don't leave till 2. 12. Whatever. You people who live in those states where you can't even tell time, I can't bother with you. But I act as though everybody is listening from the minute I go on till the minute I go off 5 days a week. And when you stop and think about it, Howard does that. Howard Stern doesn't act. He never repeats anything. I never heard Howard, like, repeat himself. So, I don't know what the point of that was. I just went off on that. But I notice everybody does it. And if you do happen to listen to people from the beginning to the end, it's very boring and very annoying, actually. Neil Rogers doesn't do it. The really good people, the really great radio hosts, they don't do that. Neil Rogers doesn't do it. I don't do it. Howard Stern doesn't do it. Because it's nothing but a way to kill time.
Oh, let's reintroduce the topic.
Jesus. Oh, somebody wants to defend Jill Pike. Okay. Dave.
Hi, Lynn.
What's up?
This is Dave. I'm down in Southern California. I got to defend Jill. I've been listening to her for over a year now. And I'm not saying she did a great job last night, but give her a chance. She's a little on the shy side. And when she first started on the Young Turks, all she did was sit there and read magazines and point things out to the guys so that they could argue about it on the radio. And now a year later, she's slapping the crap out of them on the show on a fairly regular basis.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm all for her because I forget which one of them, but there's one of those Young Turks that I myself would like to slap the crap out of.
Which one, Jake or...
I don't know. The one who was so nasty to me at the Republican convention. I don't know which one it was.
Oh, that's Jake. Jake, you...
How did you know? Now, that's interesting. How would you know which one was so nasty to me and snotty?
Huh?
How would you know who was nasty and snotty to me? Is he a nasty, snotty guy in general?
Because he used to be a Republican. And I just automatically assume that if somebody's snotty, it's going to be the Republican.
Oh, I didn't even know that about him. I don't listen to them that much, I must admit.
You ought to give a listen.
Well, they're not on at, like, the best time for me. They're not, you know.
No, they're worth listening to. Their show is extremely intelligent, and it's extremely entertaining.
Okay, well, I'll check it out. But she really could not hold her own. You know, Neil Bortz and Lionel are like two crazy people.
Well, that's just it. You put her in there. Now, I don't know about Bortz, but I know Lionel is a bit of a genius. And
Bortz is a nut. And Bortz has been on the radio, Jesus, for like forever. Forever.
But cut her some slack. She was intimidated.
Well, all right, but she better get it together. She needs to, like, jazz it up. She's not doing our side any good.
Yeah, well, you give her a few more appearances, and she'll be telling Lionel and Bortz where to go.
Oh, all right. I hope so. Thanks, hon.
You have a good day.
She also seems to be very young, which, you know, you're more easily intimidated if you're young. I think I can hardly remember. George in Pennsylvania.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Not much. I just called to say, Howard Stern repeats himself every single day. I usually listen around 8:30 in the morning.
He
and
does?
Because Sirius has the replay, I'm able to catch, like, it's 6 o'clock hour later on at night.
Yeah.
And I hear the same stuff that I heard at the 9 o'clock hour in the morning. As I do in the 6 o'clock hour.
Really? I must say, I have never, you know, this may be because I've never gotten up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
I've never heard, I mean, I have listened to Howard sometimes for 2 and 3 hours at a time. And I've certainly never heard him repeat anything, but I also must say, I have certainly never turned him on at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I've even heard he'll do a 5-6 minute bit and he'll play it. 2 times in one day.
Oh, no, that's different. Replaying something to me, if you're going to say I'm replaying this bit because it was so great, that's one thing. I'm talking about people who are constantly live and yet constantly repeating themselves. I think it's perfectly fine if something is just wonderful to say, you know, I did this great interview with this great thing and I'm going to replay it because there's an honesty about saying you're replaying it. But when you're just sitting there repeating yourself, that's another thing. You know, that's another thing. I think if he plays good bits, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, people who just keep saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I think he does both, actually.
Oh, all right. I must say, I certainly do not. I have never known what goes on the Howard Stern Show, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I hope I never do, unless I listen to it late at night.
right.
That's the only way I ever want to know what he's done at 6 in the morning is to be hearing a replay. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, darling. Now, replaying a good bit is, you know, then it's obvious that you're trying to fill time or something. All right, the people calling, hang on. And I'm going to do a break. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146.
The Young Turks, weekdays at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
I'm so jealous now. Garrett just told me Jim Brewer gets to read those live Vermont teddy bear ads. Everybody in radio, I don't know, I guess some people hate reading them. Those were always my favorite ads on Rust. I loved reading the Vermont teddy bear ads. And I have a Vermont teddy bear, and you know something? They really do last forever. They absolutely last forever. He's sitting on my couch. I must have gotten that teddy bear like, I don't know, 1987, 1988. He has no clothes on, though. I took his outfit. I forget what he was dressed in. I don't like dressed bears. I prefer a naked little bear. But I'm very jealous. Although you don't like reading a Vermont teddy bear ad like three times an hour, which is basically what it is this time of year. Well, Jim Brewer, congratulations. Clarence! Clarence in Illinois!
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I listen to talk radio, okay? I started listening in the late 80s, okay? And I drive a truck, and I spend 10 to 12 hours in that truck every day. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing you said about Savage and what's his name?
Okay. Rush.
Drudge. Okay. I believe that these people get their marching orders from the RNC. I really do.
No way. Not. I'll tell you something. Michael Savage is not taking orders from anybody. He is not a Republican. He's not. He hates the Republicans.
Okay, let me tell you my take on it, okay?
Okay.
When I started listening in the late 80s, okay, it was, I want to see what they think. But as the right-wing talk show in the early 90s got into full swing, it just seemed awfully amazing to me that all these people who claim to be the sole beacon of truth in the universe were saying the exact same thing, that somebody was going to persecute them because they tell so much truth. And they, show after show after show were saying the exact same topic, the exact same thing about the... And I said, the only way this can happen is if the RNC is controlling this thing.
Well, right. I think... Look, I can tell you from when I worked at WABC... at that time, I worked there. I worked with Rush and Sean that... When all there were fax machines, you know, before there was so much email.
Yeah.
That the fax machine at WABC every day spewed out faxes from the RNC. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it also spewed out faxes from the DNC. Now, the difference was that there were many, 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 many more people at the, at WABC who read those faxes from the RNC. I was the only one who was interested in what the DNC had to say.
Okay.
So, yes, they do give out information. They do. I mean, and now it's all through email.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to follow what they're telling you.
Well,
you could be independent. I never sat there saying what the DNC said I should say.
Yeah, okay, but...
Rush and Sean chose, yes, they chose to go along and sit there, and it certainly sounds to me like they're often reading from the RNC talking points.
Because I live near Chicago, right? I leave home. I was running Detroit, Chicago. I leave home with WLS. Somewhere around Battle Creek, I pick up WJR, okay? They had different people. At that time, they had... But they were saying the same thing.
Yeah, because they choose to take those talking points. First of all, think about it this way. It makes their life easier. Even with the internet now, if you go and you find your own news, you're spending a lot of time on the internet trying to find interesting things to talk about. If you just go to the links, you know, that the RNC is sending you, you're saving hours every day.
Okay.
So it's just lazy people. But believe me, the two independent people there are Michael Savage, who, if you really listen to him, you know, that guy is like just off the wall.
And Drudge
is not following RNC talking points, because a lot of, you know, because he's big on the privacy issue, which they don't care about, you know, so he's independent, too.
Well, I only listened to a little bit of Drudge, because he was on WLS for a while on the weekend. Savage was for quite a while on the weekend, but I don't listen to radio on the weekends, okay, except, you know, sometime I leave early Sunday or something, come back late Saturday. You know.
Okay, but I would say it's really a lazy way to do a show. It just, it's that instead of doing show prep, you know, the RNC is doing their show prep. You know, so that gives Rush more time to play golf.
Okay.
Okay, hon, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, I don't think the RNC, it's not like they're pointing a gun at these people's heads and saying you must say this. But it's, they're doing your research. That's the point. They're doing your research. Oh, here, Lawrence in Iowa. You have something nobody is talking about.
It's Laverne.
Oh.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, it is Laverne, actually, now that I look at it. I have this thing, you know, you get to that age, or maybe you don't, where you don't know whether your glasses should be on or off, or how close, or you can't see things.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Laverne.
Same experience. Here's the deal.
Yeah, it gets worse.
I was watching C-SPAN yesterday in the afternoon, and they had 40 Democratic veterans running for Congress.
Yes!
Representing 55 Democratic veterans running for Congress. It was so inspiring. People keep saying the Democrats aren't doing anything. It was awesome. Everything that they were saying was so inspiring. They said they were going to take the Hill. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Korean War and Porkchop Hill, but it was so inspiring.
I saw the movie.
I haven't seen it anywhere, so I don't know.
Oh, I used to see it on television. Oh, I'm sure you can get Porkchop Hill.
No, I'm not. I don't care about the movie. I'm caring about our.
Well, there are a lot of, nearly all the veterans of the Iraq War that are running for Congress. About 90% of the people running are Democrats. Who are against the war.
They're calling themselves the Band of Brothers 2006, and I tried to find them online, and I can't. I thought that they would have a site, and I can't find them. But anyway, it's really inspiring, and I want to hear more about it, and I can't find them.
Well, I think the problem is, what do they call themselves, Band of Brothers
2006.
Well, I think the problem is that you need to probably find each individual website that I'm trying to think of which left-wing website is really following a lot of these races. I think America Blog.
Okay, I'll take a look. But the thing is, it's
oh, here it is, www.bandofbrothers2006.
That's, I tried getting it, but nothing comes up.
I know, but you didn't do .org.
.org. Yeah, I did .org.
I don't know.
I'll try again. It's there.
Okay, it's not the Band of Brothers. It's Band of Brothers.
Okay. I hope
2006.org. News, events, Veterans for a Secure America.
Well,
and they want money. And it's all these veterans that are running. Not since 1946 have so many veterans come together as candidates for one political party.
It's awesome, and I hope people will, I don't know, check it out, support it. Thanks.
Okay, there you go. Daily Kos, that's who they say.
Okay,
Band of Brothers 2006.org. My problem, oh, you know why I can't get rid of her? Because I'm looking at this other website. My problem is whenever I look for something, if I don't Google it, if I just say, oh, please, you don't have to Google it, I always put in .com. So there's their website. If you want to look at it, bandofbrothers2006.org. And as soon as I get home tonight, I have to sing Final Destination 3, where I will be the oldest person ever to have gone to see it. I'll check it out. I'll check out the Band of Brothers. Craig in Modesto.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the radio. You're on Sirius.
Oh, nice to talk to you, Lynn.
What's up?
I just wanted to let you know, first of all, you have the best voice on the radio. I love your voice.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I think you need to go to the doctor and have him clean the wax out.
Yeah, I get sick of listening to the Bloviator, so I switched over to your show.
Well, I never Bloviate.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know, when you were talking about, you know, like, pictures of Christ and a grilled cheese sandwich and, you know, the Virgin Mary here and there.
Yes.
One time I was gambling in Lake Tahoe. And I was a little fucked up, and I spilled my beer on the table. So the cocktail waitress had to come over and sop up the mess, and then they switched the tables. When we went back to the table, there was an exact likeness of the beer stain. It was Jimi Hendrix.
Now that's good.
Yeah.
Because some people think Jimi Hendrix is God.
Well, I don't know about all that. I just thought it was so
wow. Cool. Did you win after that?
No.
Oh.
No.
I thought maybe that led you to begin to win.
I think I got 86 later that night, but it was cool because everybody gathered around the table and said, look, yeah, it's Jimi Hendrix. I can see him. He's right there.
Oh, that's good because everybody saw it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it wasn't like, oh, look at that guy. Look at how fucked up this guy is.
Right.
He thinks Jimi Hendrix.
I gave him something to talk about. Even the pit boss is laughing about it.
Oh, wow. That's great. I like that. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, keep doing a good job, and I'll keep listening to you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me see. This Band of Brothers, I just went to, I don't know, candidates. There are 56 Iraq War veterans, or veterans. I don't know that they're all Iraq War, running for Congress as Democrats. And some of them are girls. And they have the list. If you go to candidates, there's the whole list. You can they have links to all their websites. This is fabulous. This really is good. Because what do you do when a veteran is running? You know, as a Democrat. Oh, well, they're all child molesters. That's so obvious. Okay, so check that out. That's very interesting. I'm so glad. Somebody, see, I think I know everything, but every now and then somebody calls me and tells me something, okay. John in Louisiana.
Oh, Lynn.
Hi, what's up?
Hey, let me apologize for calling you on the cell phone. I know you hate it, but I heard something on the news last night you need to know about.
Yeah.
A lieutenant got injured in Iraq, and when he got home and got discharged, the Army sent him a bill for his personal armor because the medics over there destroyed his armor, taking it off of him.
Oh, yeah, but there's more to that story.
And it reminded me of what happened when I got out of the Army in 75. They sent me a bill for my uniforms and shit. And I just wrote fuck you on the bill and mailed it back.
Oh, my God. If you ever tried that today, they'd have you in a concentration camp in 5 minutes.
So I was just wondering how many other GIs that born in Virginia had his congressman do something and they apologized.
Yes, they a left-wing website raised $5,000 for him. And Robert Byrd, because he was from West Virginia,
yeah,
had them reimburse him. They say that it's a bureaucratic mistake.
But how many others?
They claim 21 others.
Yeah.
They said it happened to about 21. What an insult. But I'll tell you something. You wouldn't be interested in this. But they had his picture in our local paper yesterday.
Yeah.
What an absolutely gorgeous, good-looking man he is. Oh, man, he looks like a movie star.
Yeah. Well, aren't winners?
He's fabulous looking. Thank you for mentioning that, because thank you. I can't stand that racket anymore. That was a good call, and I love you, and don't feel bad, but that racket. You know what? It sounds like it's, and you know people don't drive with the windows open. It sounds like everybody's driving with their window open. Why is that? And it's only when they're driving that it's, I mean, nobody has their window open. But the soldier, the army did take care of it. Senator Byrd took care of it. They reimbursed him. Plus, that, I forget which website, had raised $5,000, you know, from the military-hating, America-hating, vile, despicable, child-molesting, left-wing, wacko, drug addicts, homosexuals. Just, you know, had raised $5,000 to pay his $700 bill for the body armor. And it was a bureaucratic mistake. I guess you're supposed to understand that. But let me tell you, look in your local paper, because I think most of them ran it yesterday. What a handsome guy. And I'll tell you something else to be totally fair. His mother was really angry. His mother was much more upset than he was, which is what mothers are for. And he made it a point, that soldier, whose name is something like Reebok. It's actually, it's not Reebok, but it's something close enough. He made a huge point of saying he loved the Army. He loved serving in the, was it the Army or the Marines? He loves the military. He loved serving in the military. He loves his band of brothers. He's not that upset about it. You know, so this was like a guy, he wanted to be a soldier. You know, and I'm sure what bothers him the most is that his arm got all fucked up and he can't go back. You know, because they love the other soldiers. That's really what's going on. Did I tell you yesterday, by the way, that Woodruff, that the ABC anchor, who I kept saying we don't hear, they still have him totally sedated. This is not a good sign. This guy is, I'm telling you, he's never going to be an anchor. This sounds like major brain damage, doesn't it? You know, every now and then the article said they lower the sedation and he sort of responds, but this is not good. I know somebody who had a brain injury like that, who fell off their bike, or was knocked off their bike. And, you know, never the same. What can I tell you? ABC will take care of everything. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146.
Stephanie Miller, right after the Young Turks, weeknights at 9 East, 6 West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
2,261. And the guy, the CIA guy, says, oh, they just made it all up. They just cherry-picked it because they were going to go to war. Tell that to the families of 2,260. Tell it to even Woodruff's. Oh, Brownie, is this a big update? He's a scapegoat. Not his fault. People are such assholes. Oh, good. This atheist was suing. An Italian judge has dismissed an atheist petition that a small-town priest should stand trial for asserting that Jesus Christ existed. Okay. And the other big news story is, the other huge news story of the day is that a jury took 2 hours, and one can only wonder why it took that long to throw out of court the case of the lady who claims her husband got killed by a flying shrimp in a Benihana restaurant. Why did it take them 2 hours to say, you stupid bitch, get out of here. Get out of here. See, now, when you should sue a hospital, they don't. There's a, I'll never find it. There's an obituary in one of our local papers. Some guy who opened one of the most famous Italian restaurants in New York, you know, with the brick oven, with the real pizza oven and everything, died in the hospital. Okay? The guy, you know, in his 70s. And what does it say in the article that just makes you want to scream? He broke his arm. Well, how could a person die from breaking their arm? And then he developed an infection and he died. Now, let me guess where he got the infection. Didn't I just tell you a story like that last week? Let's guess where the man with the broken arm picked up an infection. Gee, think really hard. Mike in Hartford, Connecticut.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Okay.
As a fellow person that doesn't use your real name.
A fellow person, yes.
When I go to a grocery store, not to use my real name.
Why would anybody give their real name in a grocery store?
I have no clue. Well, here's the reason I'm asking. I'm going to relocate down to Georgia for about 4 or 5 years. And in trying to do the right thing, did you know that it's a requirement you have to get fingerprinted to get licensed?
Oh, that's going to be all over America.
Well, what
that's called the Real ID Act. The Real ID Act says that they... See, what it is a national ID card, but they don't want to admit they're making a national ID card. So the Real ID Act requires that every state, that they have to all have the same kind of driver's licenses. So in essence, they're creating a national ID card.
Well, it's along the same lines as what you were saying. They create a situation and then they back it up and justify it because the whole thing on the website talks about some woman getting her pocketbook stolen and then...
Yeah,
her-
it's all to protect us. They're only spying on us for our own good. No, you have to do it. You're not going to be able to get a driver's license. And I believe, didn't Georgia just pass the law that you can't vote down there without showing government ID?
I think so. I'll have to look into that, too.
And they're trying to pass that in other states now. And of course, and what is it going to do? It's going to get rid of old voters, poor voters. You know, there are a lot of people who don't have government-issued ID. And I wish I were one of them.
Well, when they put the chip under your skin when you're born, you won't have to worry about
it. Yeah, well, hey, honey, how do we know they're not?
True.
And I just ran across on Raw Story has a link to a story from In These Times that the next thing they're doing... is, you know how easy it is to get birth and death records? You know, the environmentalists use it, you know, like to prove that some place may really contaminate it because they'll say, like, an inner can't be having access to all the birth and death records. Guess what? The government slipped into some other bill. No more. You're not going to be able to get any birth and death records anymore. And all the towns, all the municipalities are going to have to keep their own birth and death records under lock and key and ship them all to Washington where they're going to make another national database.
Charming.
Well, we're finished. It's over. You know, forget it. You can talk about it and yell about it, but there's nothing you can do about this anymore.
Did you ever read the book, The Paper Trail or Paper Trace? I can't remember what the title
was. No.
It shows you how you can get a new identity by even applying for a tax ID number because it's got the same digit number as Social Security.
Not anymore. I think as time goes by, you can't do it anymore. You can't. Once they make you show ID to vote, government ID, you know, I don't think you can do it. I think they're making it really hard. And you're right. You know, the minute that chip goes in, forget it. Okay. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. And somebody will know whether you have a nice weekend because they're spying on you. They are. It's so useless. This thing about no privacy, it is really, it's like talking about the weather. It is like talking about the weather. That's what it is. Mac in Texas.
Hello?
Hi. What is your theory about why Bush mentioned that bogus attack?
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody else noticed that every time something come up about Bush and they start closing in on him and his cronies up there, it always be something he come up with to try to make it look like, well, we being attacked. The same like when the American people start questioning him about this you know, about our soldiers over there getting killed and everything, you know, and the next thing popped up was Bin Laden tape.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. That's his whole technique of governing.
I'll tell you, this guy is getting away with more stuff that I never...
I know.
your last caller there, he mentioned about this ID, you have to be fingerprinted and stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, I'm a professional truck driver. Right now, I'm crossing over Texas, going to San Antonio. It already happened to me. I mean, when I renewed my license last year, in order for me to pull a hazmat, you know, hazardous stuff,
yes,
I have to be fingerprinted. I give this big sheet of paper that asks everything about my life. They sent it to Washington, D.C., and then about a couple of weeks later, I would get this back saying whether I'm qualified to pull hazmat or whether I'd be able to get my license.
Did you get your license?
Oh, yes, I have them. Oh. I mean,
well, wait till they find out you're calling Sirius Left. You'll never get another one. I know, it is outrageous. It's outrageous, but they're doing it. It's like little by little, bit by bit, you know, and nobody realizes how eventually this is all adding up to where you're not going to literally be able to use a sheet of toilet paper that the government's not going to know.
That's right. But before I let you go, I have one more thing to say, then I'll let you go.
Okay.
I'm speaking to all your listeners out there. I'm talking about listening to you, Ed Schultz, all you guys. It's something I would like for them to very much do, because from what I can see, we can't get our word out there, you know, to try to better ourselves as Democrats or what, liberals or whatever, you know, to try to straighten this country out, you know, by listening at that media that feeds on television. I mean, you're not going to get anything out of that.
No, you're not.
They are owned by
corporations.
They're owned by Bush. They're run by Bush, and they're going to be Bush. But what I would like for them to do is that, I mean, because I'm going to do it as soon as I get home. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to go to my pastor. I'm going to go to the deacon board or whatever, and I'm going to ask them to let me right after service. If the people would stay just a little while, I would have something to say to them. I want them to let them know what is really going on with our country.
Okay, I'm with you. Honey, I got to take a break. I'm sorry, because the show's coming to an end.
Okay, then.
Thanks, Mac.
Thank you.
Bye. He's right. Every time Bush's numbers go down, either, you know, somebody will die, or he has to convince us, oh, I'm protecting you, I'm protecting, because that's all he's got. And even that's fading away. All right, last break for the week. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146. Okay, is there anything I have to say that I... Oh, God, you got to read the story. It's on my website. It's on every website on earth. And don't just read it. You know, nobody has an imagination. Garrett has no... You weren't imagining that when you read it. The guy that hung himself... It's really hanged, but nobody knows that. The guy that hung himself in the bathroom on the airplane. And... I said to Garrett, imagine being on that airplane. That, you know, that's why I find things more interesting that other people don't. Because you go, oh, the guy hung himself in the bathroom. You know, and I guess if you just think about that, that's kind of nothing. But when you start thinking, think about you're on an airplane and some guy goes in the bathroom. And you know how that line is getting longer and longer because one of the bathrooms on one side, like nobody ever comes out. And then somebody has to go to the stewardess and say, you know, that person, or maybe they notice it's their job. And then I would assume somebody had to bash the door open, right? And now that's one of those things, if you're sitting like in the front, not first class, but like in the front of steerage, or what do they call it? You know, you didn't even know that happened. But if you're in the back, and they break the door open, and somebody sees... Now, we couldn't figure out, how do you hang yourself in the bathroom of an airplane? From what? You can touch the ceiling. And then, like, all the commotion and everything. And everybody starts whispering, like somebody who can just see that it's happening says to the person in front, and, you know, it's like all going to the front of the... They said some guy hung himself in the bathroom. And then the plane has to, I mean, my God, you could spend your whole goddamn weekend thinking about this. Cross your fingers that Final Destination 3 isn't sold out, because I really want to see it. We're going to have a blizzard. All right, well, if I live through the blizzard and I don't fall and break my neck on the ice or something, I'll see you Monday. Lynn Samuels, Sirius XM 146. Thank you, Garrick. Goodbye.